So hi, Women Grow Nice Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
Happy Monday.
It's a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a start to a new week. Let me...
It's a start to a week that I don't think anyone was prepped for.
No. No. Today is President's Day. I don't know about you. I sure shit didn't get the day off.
I did, thankful. I mean, for my job, but then my baking business did not.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a break.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Yeah. Womp womp indeed. Yeah. So we're both exhausted right now.
I'm ready for Friday.
Yeah, I'm ready just to sleep, man. I'm taking it one fucking day at a time.
You don't just want to jump to Friday and move on?
I just need sleep at the moment, man. Friday is going to be more fucking baking, dude. There isn't an end to this. This is a fucking cycle.
Oh, that's great. That's great. We didn't live stream last week. Sorry about that.
It was 33 minutes of music on our playlist. Yeah. And we said, we can't dissect a single by single.
Yeah, we can't just dissect singles and put that out. So we're here. We got records, but that's 2 weeks of shows that I went to that we have to catch up on now.
Exactly.
So Tuesday, February 6th, and Wednesday, February 7th, 2 weeks ago, I saw Plain White Tees and Pollyanna live. Tuesday was in Philadelphia. Wednesday was in New York City. Great couple of days. Some sick shows. It's cool. Mm-hmm. Cool to see Pollyanna playing in those rooms. Opening for the fucking Plain White Tees.
Fucking crazy. Fucking crazy.
I got to hear Fire It Up both nights.
I'm fired up.
And feeling a lot better now. Mm-hmm. Song's all fucking awesome.
It's such a fucking banger.
Heard Hey There Delilah in Philly, not in New York City. Glory told me I fucked up.
It should have been the opposite.
My bad. Really, but... I wanted to catch the train home.
No.
So, yeah, I didn't stay for too much of Plain White Tees in New York City. The original intention was to stay for none of it, and then we got caught up talking to people, and it was like, all right, we'll just catch the next train. It's all right.
Shane, you're just always talking to people, man.
It wasn't me. It was who I went with. But, yeah, I stayed for all but the last song in the encore in Philly, because I wanted to catch Hey There Delilah, and then I peaced out. Philly was cool. Was on the lighter side in terms of attendance, but I was like, there were like people in front of me that were like singing every word of every single song, and I was just like this band's big, like,
yeah,
like they're big, like that song was massive, but like I didn't realize like people listen to them outside of that song. Like,
yeah,
especially the new record. Like I've seen nobody talk about that at all.
Yeah, and, like, but everyone's screaming it. It's crazy.
And the person in front of me was singing every single word.
It's good for them, man. I know they were fucking having the time of their life.
Dude, I mean the new record goes hard and more people should listen to it because it is a solid record. I was just like, damn.
Damn, there are Plain White Tees fans out there? Damn. Like, respectfully, not in, like, a bad way. Just, like, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I just kind of figured everybody would, like, be going for Hey There Delilah. And, like, the visceral reaction that I thought would happen didn't happen in Philly. I was, like, disappointed. I was, like, I thought that, like, the energy in the room would change because, like, that's the song. Like, they're very... love-oriented band, so it's like
it's like all love songs. Yeah, I remember listening to the record and being like, holy shit.
They're a very, 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 very love-oriented band. It's a band that is very appropriate to go see with your significant other. So I expected, like, you know, there's obviously a shitload of couples in the room. I expect, like, the energy to change because Hey There Delilah is, like,
the song,
obviously a love song.
Yeah.
And like it was cool, but I think I set my expectations a little too high for like the shift that would happen, yeah, where like everybody all of a sudden would just like start singing the words, and like that didn't, like people were singing the words, but it wasn't like the loud,
like screaming
chorus effect that I
really
thought was gonna happen.
Oh,
and I was like, well, womp womp.
Were people at least like swaying?
People were like into it, kind of. Philly was just weird because there weren't a lot of people. Like the entire day was just fucking weird. Like driving there, I hit no traffic, like none at all. And I,
oh,
always,
yeah, you totally-
and I always hit traffic driving into Philly. It doesn't matter what day at that time that I was driving in, because that's typically when I'm going in for shows.
Mm-hmm.
I barely saw fucking cars on the highway. Like that's mm-hmm. how fucking dead it was. I pulled into the city,
mm-hmm.
and there were barely any cars on the road, like in the city portion, not just the highway.
Yeah.
There was no line to get in at all. And there the show you know, didn't have a ton of people at it, so it was just like it was a weird vibe. But like the vibe in the city was just fucking weird. Like it was just a weird
something
fucking
was
day.
Off.
Something,
yeah,
was
something
totally
was off.
Off. Yeah,
like someone did something and you didn't get the memo, or like
fucking,
yeah, no,
weird.
So yeah.
the energy in the room didn't shift the way I thought it would, but that's okay. They still put on a good show. Although I would like to say, maybe when they're pacing the set, they change guitars every fucking song.
Really?
Every goddamn song. Maybe, just maybe, change the set list so that it's like you get a couple of songs before the guitar changes.
Or you switch it.
Yeah, like instead of every single song. Luckily, all mm-hmm. like, because Tom has an electric guitar, an acoustic guitar, and then there were songs where he had no guitar, and it just mm-hmm. felt like every fucking song he was either picking up a guitar and putting it down, or changing his guitar, or like that was the flow of the set. Like it would stop, like there was no like go right into the next song. It was like stop, mm-hmm. there's a 30-second pause, and then the next song starts.
Shit. That's awkward.
At least the guitars were on stage. But yeah, maybe pace it a little different. I don't know.
Pace it.
Yeah,
at all?
I go to see the Plain White Tees. Like I expect acoustic songs. So I like a band like that. I wouldn't mind a bunch of acoustic songs in a row. I don't want half the set of, like, if they're playing 50% electric, 50% acoustic. I don't want that whole bit there. Right. Altogether, fall asleep, but a couple of them, it's okay,
a little pocket of them,
yeah, a little
and
pocket
electric, and then a little pocket,
yeah, instead of exactly. one
like just flip-flopping. Damn, that's annoying. I was listening to them, but I wasn't like
paying
sitting
attention.
Down and watching them, but it was on in the background, and I was like, oh, they sound so good, you know. And then I heard Fired Up, and I was like, I have to get a video of this. I literally stopped a conversation. I said, stop, Shane needs to hear that. It's just that's annoying. That is incredibly annoying. Come on, guys, you've been doing this for so long. You should know how to pace a fucking set, respectfully.
And,
still the Plain White Tees.
True. Jill got to do Would You Even with them, and I got to catch that in Philly, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all in all, a cool couple of days. Didn't think I would ever see the Plain White Tees, and I saw them twice in 48 hours.
Pretty cool, yeah.
So that was certainly sick. And then on Saturday, I went to a hockey game and got a Jonas Brothers concert, which was pretty sick. Yeah,
they played hockey at a Jonas Brothers,
dude. I don't know, it was fucking weird. It was pretty sick though. That's technically the biggest show the Jonas Brothers have played in New Jersey, at least to my knowledge. They've never headlined MetLife Stadium by themselves, because I don't think they could, gonna be honest.
You don't think the Jonas Brothers could?
I think the Jonas Brothers would have to clear their entire calendar for like 6 months and promote the hell out of it for the show to do well.
How big is MetLife?
It's without a stage, it's like seats 86,000 people.
Oh, yeah, they couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Beyonce then, could.
Yeah.
They could.
Beyonce did.
Like back to back, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They are not at Beyonce
the
level.
Weekend
Sorry,
can.
Joe. Yeah, The Weeknd can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift did it three nights in a row.
Yeah, no. Jonas Brothers, you like respectfully. Also a little disrespectfully. You guys are not at that level.
It's probably it's when you put a stage in there and you eliminate those back. You know, obviously the seating
probably
that's behind 000. The stage. It's and then you put people on the field. I would say it's probably about 70,000, which is still a lot of people for the Jonas Brothers, considering they did two nights at the arena, which probably is about 15,000 people when you put a stage in there. And neither night was sold out. The first night obviously did a little bit better than the first, but neither night was sold out.
Okay.
And
I did not realize that they were like.
I mean, they're not.
They're small, but I thought they were like.
In New Jersey.
Like they like, could do that.
Yeah,
shit.
They're like the New Jersey boy band. Like you'd think. They're just maybe 10, 15 years ago, but not now.
When year 3000 came out. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So it was.
But after the album, I think everyone's a little. I think they're a little sick of them.
It was it was cool to see them playing in there. My only pet peeve was the stage they set up. So they weren't seating they put the hockey rink in the middle, and then they had the stage set behind the hockey rink.
Okay.
So like we're looking at it like an oval. And it's in the middle, and then on the back end of the oval is where the stage is. On one of the flatter ends, the longer ends. So there's like the three sections directly behind the stage aren't being sat in. They place the lighting all in those sections. They didn't put like a back up on the stage. They placed lighting all the way in the back of those sections. So needless to say, I heard the Jonas Brothers. I got blinded by lights for about 30 minutes.
Didn't see a goddamn
no.
thing.
Whoever put Damn. That together, doesn't do stage lighting.
Fucking Kevin.
was just having a fucking blast. They gave him a budget and said, put as many lights up as you can with this budget. And he just went fucking crazy.
Fucking wild. He ordered every light available. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, but they were cool. We were so fucking far away that even if the lights weren't blinding us, you wouldn't have really seen them. Because we were on the opposite side of the stadium, way up in the top, but we were like direct head on to them, so we were at their furthest point.
We were like literally as far as you could be from them.
But
you got a front seat to all the lights though.
Yeah, did get blinded by all those. But yeah, it was cool to see them in MetLife. Maybe one day they'll be headlining MetLife if they drop anything that is better than the album, which
or like any of their like past releases.
The bar is on the floor when you say the album.
They could just like re-release like Year 3000 and call it a day. Genuinely, like
is that the
I feel
only
like
Jonas Brothers song you know.
Dude, like, yeah.
It's a cover of a busted song.
I can name maybe four actual Jonas Brothers songs. I got Waffle House. I got What a Man Gotta Do.
Yeah. Year 3000.
I can name
duh.
Two Jonas Brothers songs.
No, you don't know.
Shit.
Sucker, Cool.
Oh, Sucker.
Yeah. And
okay.
Cool
that's
is the other one off Happiness Begins that was all over the radio.
What was it? Cool?
Yeah.
How does that go?
Cool. You think I'm fucking kidding, right?
Are you kidding me?
That is a line in the chorus. That's how they sing cool in the chorus. Like when they say it. They play Burning Up. That's probably my favorite.
Oh, Red Dress.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite hit of theirs. So that was cool. They played Year 3000, obviously. Why? How couldn't they?
They have to.
Yeah. Let's see. Waffle House, Paranoid, which is a song that I like as well. Okay. Yeah, it was cool. That was a single, but I didn't expect them to whip that one out. When You Looked Me in the Eyes, I turned to Sam. I said, I fucking hate this song. And then I was like, and then they played Sucker. And I was like, remember when I hated that other song? I actually hate this fucking song. And I take it back about the other one.
You don't like Sucker?
I fucking hate Sucker. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I fucking, it's so, I mean, I'm not like a Jonas Brothers fan. So it's like, I would die for that song. I fucking love hate
that
so
song.
Much.
I fucking hate that song. They played Jealous, which is a Nick Jonas song. And then they played Cake by the Ocean, which is DNC.
Yeah, I know.
Which, bummer that they only played 9 songs and they had to sneak those two in, but they're also just as big as some of the hits that Jonas Brothers have, so it makes sense. Like, they're all of the white moms in front of me went absolutely batshit when they played Jealous.
Dude, that's like their fucking anthem, man. They're like, no, fucking, he wrote that for me. Genuinely, they love that shit.
And then Sunday, I was in the beautiful city of New York City at Rough Trade.
Thanks.
bright and early, 11:30 in the morning, to see Neck Deep Acoustic. They played a couple of songs off the new record, and then a couple of the hits. It was cool to hear them play December Acoustic, their Christmas song that's not a Christmas song. They played five songs. They were up there for about 30 minutes, and then they sent us all outside, and they put the band at a table, and they signed whatever, if you bought a CD or a vinyl, which you had to buy, obviously, to get in. They signed it for you, and, you know, you got to talk to them for a second, so I got to chat with the band for
he
a second.
The pod, right?
Yeah, of course. That, yeah, no, totally. Obviously did that.
That's an appropriate thing to do.
Totally wasn't like, what the hell do I say to these people that isn't your record fucking rocks, dude?
Dude, they would ate that shit up, man. Oh, my God.
So Sam was telling them about, they were like, you going to the show? Because they were playing in Brooklyn that night. And Sam was like, nah, we were at a hockey game the night before, so we're heading back after this. And I was like, yeah. And the fucking Jonas Brothers played, and they're like, no way.
You won them over. That was all they needed to hear. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was cool. Shout out Rough Trade for running the meet and greet the right way. Like, well, I guess it was kind of a meet and greet, but there was no picture, so the performance and signing the right way, you know, it was contained. There wasn't a shitload of people because the store is not very big. Like, they made a bunch of people, like, including me and Sam, sit on the floor to like fit more people in there, which didn't seem like the right way to fit more people in there.
No, it seemed like actually the way you would decrease the amount of people that could
sit there. But we had to sit on the floor and my butt was really tired by the end of it. So yeah, we sat on the floor for whatever fucking reason, and then like everybody just went outside, and within like 15 minutes we were done. Like, we met the band and we were we were off to do what else we were going to do in the city that day. But it was just like ran really effectively. They didn't oversell it. My only experience with in-store signings up until this point has been water parks, three times, and it is always oversold. There are always too many people there, and you always have to wait multiple hours to meet the band after the performance. And like, no, it's not so much water parks' fault as the store's faults. The stores that I've seen them play at have always been bigger, so it makes sense that there would be more people there, but it's always such a miserable experience. And I literally stood out in the cold for this and had a better time than any time except maybe the first time that I did the water parks thing. So shout out Rough Trade. I didn't realize how close the store was to the train station. I might do more of these, like, because sometimes they do like
people
actual...
you don't even fucking know.
Sometimes they do like actual performances in the store, like Incendiary played a show there.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and I think Silverstein did too recently. It might have been acoustic, but I know for a fact Incendiary played like a show. So like if bands that I like do shit like that, like I'll fucking go. Like, cause this was ran so smoothly.
Yeah.
So
damn. Shout that's out awesome. Rough
Trade. Yeah.
Shout out Rough Trade. Did they play my favorite song, The In Bloom?
No. The crowd wanted them to, because they asked like, what old songs do you want to hear? Like, we played a couple off the new record, but we're not gonna beat it to piss. You guys haven't all heard it.
Oh, that's so cute.
So what old songs do you want to hear? And everyone was like, In Bloom. And Ben was like, I got to save the In Bloom vocals for the actual show. In Bloom.
It's like acoustic. You just sometimes. Like, it's not. What the fuck? I would have been so pissed, man. I wouldn't have. That's so. What did they play instead?
Hang on, you're asking the Not Neck Deep fan. They played We Need More Bricks, Go Outside, They May Not Mean To, But They Do, December, and A Part of Me. Three songs off the new record. Mm-hmm. December is off Life's Not Out to Get You, and A Part of Me is off of Rain in July. I knew the two songs that weren't on the new record. December, obviously, but a part of me I didn't like expect to know, and I was just like, I know this one.
Oh yeah, you're like, oh, guys, yeah.
And yeah. You know the songs off the new record sounded good acoustic, so that was cool. Good. So yeah, that was my week, my couple of weeks. No shows in the immediate. Coming up next is Fox Teeth March 2nd, and then after that. We'll have a week of no shows, and then all the shows in a row starts Hell with week. Mom Jeans, Water Parks, Fall Out Boy, possibly Between You and Me and Sharia Moore, and I don't know how.
You're seeing Fall Out Boy?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
March 22nd, 2024. Bought them a while ago.
Really?
When they announced that second leg, I probably didn't say anything because they're birthday gift for Sam, but she found out.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. You didn't say any. That's why I was like, what? Did you, are the main on that date?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Sorry.
It's Hot Mulligan.
I was going to be so jealous. Yeah. Oh, wow. No, that's good for Sam. Mm-hmm. That's like, wow. Lucked out. Damn. The main.
Yeah.
Love that band. Love that band. Wow. Yeah. So you're seeing. I keep saying the main. You're seeing Fall Out Boy when I see Water Parks.
Wow.
I can't tell who won. I'm fucking terrified for my Water Parks date because the crowd is interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm a little worried because I watched, granted, it was like 4 years ago. I watched a video of Austin on stage. I tried to go along without mentioning him. He performed Action with Don Broco. And I was like, what the fuck kind of crossover is this? So
I tried to go without mentioning him.
Because it's so fucking dumb. I'm trying so hard. He performed Action with Don Broco. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. Why? I didn't know that they knew each other. They toured Warped Tour. They became like good friends after that. His live vocals, respectfully, leave a lot to be desired. So now I'm like, has he improved or does he still sound like that? Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see. And I'm bringing a person who's not a Water Parks fan, who doesn't go to concerts with me. So it's going to be interesting turning to her and going, no, I swear he sounds good in the studio. He sounds like shit. So Austin Knight, I love you so much. I'm just a little scared. Because Parksies aren't going to call it out. So
have you not like watched Water Parks live videos?
I've seen like the clips that they would post, but it just sounds a little off sometimes. But it's like I'm not a Parksy.
Yeah.
So I don't see live videos. I thought their live video, I thought it was a live video. They posted a visual for I don't know. It was like a tour video that they did of them singing it on stage of off their newest record. And I was like, oh, I get to hear it. I get to hear it. And then it was just overdubbed with the actual song. So I was like, oh my God, what are you hiding from? Does he sound better live?
I mean, I think he sounds fine live. Like they're more so a band that I go and a number one hope I don't get mauled,
Yeah.
for various reasons.
Reasons.
And then it's like the visuals and like what's going on stage and the stage presence and the fact that I know all of the songs
Yeah.
and that my girlfriend also likes the band, so we have a good time together,
Yeah.
is more so what I go for than like, ooh, does he sound like shit? Because if he sounded
Yeah.
like shit, I'd call it out.
Yeah.
So I don't think he
Okay.
sounds like shit. I mean, I don't know, like, sounds fine. I think he sounds like Austin,
Yeah,
my
okay.
honest review.
I'll send you the video so you can be like,
I think
oh
I've
no,
seen
he just
the what you're talking about, like that
the
clip. I
action.
saw it on
Yeah.
Twitter at some point.
Because I was like two worlds colliding. And then I saw him in a fucking like a Warped Tour like fucking vlog that they did, because I saw his fucking hair. I saw his dumbass, I think it was like green hair or something. No, it was his purple hair, because in the lobotomy video, I was like, is that who I fucking think it is? And he turned around, and I saw his dumb face, and I was like, fuck you, Austin Knight. I love him. I'm joking for anyone watching. But yeah, so all that to say, I'm excited, but I'm a little scared.
Yeah, it'll be a good show though.
Yeah.
Loveless. I'm excited to see Loveless again. And I'm excited to finally see Sophie Powers because that
Absolutely.
new song Obsessed, you sent it to me and I was thinking the same thing that you said. Dude,
Yeah.
that shit's gonna go so hard.
It's her best thing
Yeah.
so far. Like, damn. I'm so excited. I hope she plays it live.
She fucking
Because it's gonna
better.
come out soon,
Yeah. I think she
I think
said
she's
March
saying.
1.
Okay, good. For perfect for her tour.
But yeah, we also, you know, we come here to talk about music occasionally.
Sometimes.
So we're gonna kick it off. Bloom dropped their new album, Maybe in Another Life. Band that caught my attention with some singles off of this new record. On the newer side of things, they had a handful of releases that trace all the way back to 2017. But you know, this is their record out on Pure Noise Records.
Ooh, pure
So you know,
noise.
it came our inbox, an Australian-based band. And you know, the first song I heard, I was like, holy hell, this band is awesome. Like,
Yeah.
I not only do I need them on the podcast, I need the whole record right now. Finally got to hear the record, and holy hell, it's so good.
It's, yeah.
It's both heavy and also not. It's
Yeah.
got plenty of heavy moments if that's what you're here for. And then it's got like moments where they basically just pull the plug and they're like, we're taking a fucking chill pill for a second.
Yeah.
And it just flows so goddamn well, and it's everywhere in between, as well, you know, on those two spectrums. And it's just a great fucking album front to back. And I highly recommend that everybody checks this band out because the band is fucking sick and the record is
Absolutely.
fucking sick.
Absolutely. I do want to highlight my favorite song, Bound to Your Whispers. That fucking track, it is exactly what you described, where it has the super heavy parts, the screams, and then also has the very melodic, just clean vocals. It's so fucking good. The instrumentals are crazy. There are a couple points, there are a couple riffs on this record where I'm like, how the fuck did they even come up with that? Because it's just that good and it's just that catchy. I love when fucking riffs and vocals bounce off each other, and it has that it's almost like they're harmonizing. They did that a couple times, and it scratches a good part of my brain. So if you like that, you're gonna fucking love this record. It is one of my favorite things so far that's come out this year. I feel like I can say that because it was that good.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Solid. The Requiem dropped a new album, A Cure to Poison the World.
We chatted with the Requiem before the year ended, it was one of the last interviews we did of last year. You can see our Christmas trees in the background.
Yeah, miss them.
But so definitely go check that out. But the record, it's fucking awesome.
It's fucking incredible. It like, this record is everything I wanted. Honestly, I'm just by the name and by the cover art and everything kind of leading up to the record, even kind of like their photo shoots aesthetic. And how they present themselves, their aesthetic, I expected something like super theatrical, if that makes sense. You know, kind of like that goth, I don't know. Theatrical is the only way I can really kind of explain it. Almost kind of like what the Funeral Portrait does. I don't know if you've listened to them enough to kind of place that sound. No. But it wasn't that exactly, but it was still incredibly good. It has a lot of chill tracks. I mean, my favorite is the one that's more stripped down than all the other ones. It's more emotional. It's called Cursed. Which is, it's a little strange. Usually the softer tracks aren't my favorite anymore. I'm more into the, yeah, this one was fast. It sounded really good. But this one, I don't know. It kind of hit me a little bit. And I was like, damn, this shit's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Record overall is incredible. It's flowed very well. The interview was nice. You should go watch it if you haven't. And yeah, that's all I have to say.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I would like to shout out Cursed because there are all of the titles or a large chunk of the titles on this record are so long. and then Cursed, one of the slower songs on the record, besides Before I Go, the closer, is one word. And it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in that sense that it is one of the slowest songs on the record and is the only song on the record that is a one word title. So I'd like to shout it out for that one.
Shout out.
Because then there are some other songs like The Difference Between You and Me Is That I Get the Last Laugh, which doesn't even fit on my screen when I'm looking at it on the playlist. But overall, the record is fucking solid. It is, it calls back, if my fucking camera would bring me back into focus. There we are.
Yeah, there we go. We're back.
It's a modern twist on a lot of like the mall emo scene, that era of music, which is not like there's so many scene revivals going on, and that is not one that you're seeing a lot nowadays. Like
pop punk.
Yeah, it's a lot of pop punk. So it's super cool to see that and to hear that with the modern twist.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the record's fucking incredible. I mean, when we're talking about, you know, you said what your expectation was, I looked at the band and I was like, this is gonna be heavy. Like this is gonna be heavy. Like the Requiem, like the fuck. Like there's a Korn album called The Requiem.
That's true.
This is gonna be heavy. And it's not heavy in that sense.
No. They aren't hurting your ears.
No, they're not not screaming at you. Lyrically heavy, yes. But heavy listening to it, no. But is the fucking record sick as shit? And should you listen to it if you like any mall emo band? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. If you want kind of like a grown up version of the mall emo.
It'll scratch that itch because I've overplayed a lot of those bands. To the point where it's like they come on shuffle and I'm like, tomorrow. Like not right now. And then like tomorrow comes in like, yeah, no, like fuck this.
Comes on like a 5-year cooldown for
me. Yeah, great bands. And if they ever come around town, I'll go see them. But not today.
No.
So to have a band that I can listen to that isn't like that, but is in that same kind of genre, that sound is refreshing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, refreshing.
Yeah. Like Moths to Flames dropped two new singles, Angels Weep and Paradigm Trigger. And they're dropping my album of the year in 2020. I don't even give a fuck. Like,
let's hope you remember it. That's what we're gonna put on our fucking list, man.
Listen, it'll be hopefully it'll be an album this time. So when I'm making my album of the year list, it'll be there.
You can't say that because you put an EP as your album of the year.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, womp, womp,
womp, womp, womp, womp, womp. I've had these songs on repeat. Like, they're so good. I'm just patiently waiting for the album announcement at this point. It's got to be coming. And a tour announcement and the whole kit and caboodle. I need it all. And I'm just very excited. I love this band and stoked to see what's coming next.
Like Monster Flame is a band I do heavily associate with you. So when I listened to this, I was like, God, I know Shane fucking loved this. They were incredible, great songs. I need to listen to them a couple more times for it to fully click for me. But it's like I could listen to it and be like, no, that's a really good song. I just haven't gotten that. All right, let's get it again. Roll it back, roll it back, roll it back. But I know it's going to happen because I really want to get into that band, especially with this album coming out. So I feel like the rollout is, it's always the best time to get into an artist. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited to see what they have under their sleeves. And it's good. It's really good.
Hell yeah.
Belmont dropped a new single, Liminal. Belmont is one of the best bands doing it right now. Yeah. I am so fucking serious. Belmont, every single time they pop up on this fucking playlist, it's always incredible. Their fucking riffs, the tones of their guitars alone, it's so upbeat, it's heavy, it's so good. And it's like, I don't understand why more people aren't giving them their fucking flowers. Why they aren't like the biggest band ever. How are you guys still an opening band? Get on that fucking headliner. They need to do the shit. Mm-hmm. I need more eyes on Belmont, genuinely, because their last single that they put out was one of my favorite songs dropped last year. I think it was the last single that they put out, at least. They might have dropped another one that I'm forgetting about. But that one, fucking incredible. This one, better than the last. I'm just, oh, I love this band so much. I think they are going to be my next band that I like delve into, but whatever they're doing,
dude, you got to dive into discography, because like I love this band to death but I go in phases with them where it's like I won't listen to them for a long time, and then I'll mm-hmm. stumble across them again like it's the first time I'm listening to them, and I will just binge the shit out of the entire discography, because the first full-length record in their discography, which I believe is the self-titled, mm-hmm. all of the songs flow into each other. So listening to it is like crack.
Oh my God.
It's fucking awesome.
Okay. I think I have something to do tonight now.
Yes, highly recommend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love all of the songs that... Or all of the releases, and you know this single led into another album announcement, third mm-hmm. record, third LP coming out April 7th, I believe, which is
April 7th,
very exciting. Or April 5th, something like that. It's in April, because I believe April 7th is a Sunday. So if it's that week, it would technically be the 5th. So, but yeah, this song is awesome. I you very much enjoyed the lead single for the record. I was in the boat of what the hell is Belmont doing? This ain't the old reliable that I know Belmont for. And I was like, I don't like it. I don't care. But I like this one a lot. And you know, I'm stoked to come around on the lead single SSX Trickshot. Maybe in the context on the record, it will be the banger that you see it as to me.
I think you should re-listen to it after, because you like this song. Mm-hmm. I think you should re-listen to it because they're fucking sister songs to me. Mm-hmm. They make sense so well. It's the same kind of like, it's not at all hyper pop, but it's that high energy kind of like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just gushing about this fucking band now. I love this. I love this rollout so far.
Yeah.
I love it.
Ryan Oakes and Ethan Ross dropped a new single, I'm Him. Dude, this is one of Ryan's best songs easily. This fucking song goes crazy.
We fucking say that every single time he drops it.
You say like, it a lot more often than I do.
Yeah, no, that's true. Honestly, I do believe he's just getting better and better. I don't know if this is like we're seeing his actual progression or if he's just kind of had these tucked away and he's just releasing them as he goes. But whatever he's doing, whichever writing session, whoever he's working with, whatever he's fucking doing, keep doing it. Incredible. It's amazing. I hope whatever I can't even. Is it Universal who took down
It's
all the
UMG.
songs? Atlantic? Yeah.
UMG is
Yeah.
Universal.
Yeah, give him back his shit, because he hasn't been able to promote on TikTok, and that's like his main thing, because they took down his songs. Even though he's not even like
Yeah,
related to them.
his label distributes through UMG, which got
Oh.
him hit in the crossfire despite not being a UMG artist, not being published by UMG, not being signed to UMG in any sort of way. His label distributes through UMG, and UMG just took their whole catalog down, which includes
Wow.
anybody that they distribute.
That's fucking bonkers.
That's how he got hit. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, Ryan.
It's
I
fucked
hope
up.
they give it to you. Yeah.
Whole thing's fucked up.
For real. I liked this song a lot. I really did. Every person who has that kind of like growly rap just reads Corpse to me. That's not a bad thing. I like Corpse's music. So to me, this was just like, oh my God, Corpse. I love Corpse. Oh my God, wait, Ethan Ross. He was also on the Magnolia Park song. Yeah, that one was incredible as well. I like this guy. Ethan Ross, you're doing good. You're collaborating with good people. Your work is fuck with your work. So yeah, good track. Good job, guys. New Year's Day dropped a new single, Half Black Heart.
Yeah, it's
I'll let you go first, because I
fucking
yapped
song.
on the last one.
Fucking song goes hard. Record's out in a couple of weeks. Very excited about that. May or may not have an interview dropping with Ash about the album. Maybe. Not sure.
Maybe. Not sure yet.
Yeah. So very, very stoked for the record. Single's awesome. All the singles have been great. Just excited to have another New Year's Day record after, the last one was 2018. So it's been a minute.
Damn. I really like this song, and the hypothetical interview that may or may not have been recorded already, is something that you should look out for. Great song. Awesome hypothetical interview.
Yes. Kill the Lights
No more.
dropped a new single, Sleep with the Devil. On the slower side of things, but I think that the singles are showing a wide range of what this record's going to cover with, this song being on the slower side. We've gotten a couple of hard rock songs and one or two straight up metal songs. We've gotten the whole kit and caboodle of what the band is going to be doing on the record. So with that being said, I'm very excited for the record. It comes out in a few weeks, the 8th of March. So hell yeah, stoked to see how this all goes, how all these songs are going to sound in the context of the record, because some of them I've not been the biggest I've not been the biggest fans of as a single, but should be exciting to see. Very stoked.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I did enjoy this track a lot. I had to listen to it a couple of times because it reminds me of a song and I couldn't think of the song name. It reminded me of the Avenged Sevenfold song. I'm not an Avenged mega fan, so I had to text my friend who is an Avenged mega fan and I said, "Does this sound like this one song? I don't know the name." And then I hummed the song to her. It was embarrassing. And she said, "Yes, it does. Sounds like Seize the Day to me," which is good because it's a great song. It sounds like it was just influenced, at least the opening riff. Kill the Lights, if you're listening, please let me know if that was part of the influence. If not, happy accident, because that song's a fucking banger. Great song, sounded great. Two
Hell yeah.
thumbs up
Hell yeah.
if that translates, yeah. Left to Suffer and Paleface Swiss dropped new single, Lost in the Dark.
Dude, this fucking song is a ripper. An absolute fucking ripper. Left to Suffer is a fantastic band. Pale Face Swiss is a great band. You put those two bands together and you get a absolute melts face melting song.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I like the song a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to highlight the guitars on this. I think it's the rhythm guitars. I think it's rhythm, not the lead. Oh, no. It would be the lead, because the lead is the fun one, and then the rhythm guitar is the one that keeps everything in order. The rhythm guitar, fucking lead guitars, were amazing. I really liked them because they did the... And I just... I love when bands do funny little riffs like that. It just adds that little spice, that little grah in it. Great track. Really liked it. Heavy as shit, though. Heavy as shit.
Yes, absolutely. Idola dropped their new single, No Weapon Formed Shall Prosper, announced their new record coming out in April. Been a minute since we've gotten a new Idola record. Last one was 2020, I think, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. This record, or not this record, this single is pretty fucking cool. It's a little bit heavier than what I remember them sounding like previously. The last record was, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit more technical, a little bit, mm-hmm. and this is just like straight fucking riffs, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm stoked to hear the full record.
Absolutely. Hell yeah. I really liked this as well. I thought it was fucking awesome. Vocals were crazy on it as well. I really liked the vocals on this song.
Hell yeah.
Capstan dropped a new single, Misery Scene. I fucking love Capstan. This song was incredible. Thumbs up. I really like this one a lot.
Yeah. This band's pretty fucking cool. They announced a new record as well, coming soon. The date is being lost up in my brain. But this song is fucking cool. Stoked for the album to come out.
This song is very early 2000s, like, alternative, mm-hmm. where it feels like it would be at the end of, like, one of those teen comedy movies where it's like, oh, the kid ran away from home, and, he misses his family, and, but he has such a good time, but at the end of the day, he's like, I miss my little brother. And then he goes back home and whatever. Like, this would be in, like, the fucking credits or something. Like, it's that. It's, like, fucking All American Rejects, you know, where they would put, like, Gives You Hell or something at, like, in the fucking credits. This would fit in place of Gives You Hell, in my opinion. Right. That's the kind of vibe it gave me.
Yeah. All right. Harper dropped her new single, I Hope You Choke. Another fucking banger from Harper. Just fucking stoked to see where this project continues to go. She's like only 12 years old and fucking screaming her goddamn head off and sounds so good doing it. The fucking song is crazy, dude. Like, I don't know, it's been on repeat for me. Stoked to see what's next, maybe a record this year, who knows. Just continuing to hear more music from Harper.
She's fucking 10 years old.
God damn,
she just got to two hands, man. You know how fucking crazy that is? Oh my god, she's gonna be a fucking beast.
She just got to two hands. That's fucking crazy.
I really like this song.
Oh my god, it's just the way you said it fucking killed me. Oh my god.
Oh fuck. It's an incredible song. Production wise, vocal wise, everything. I think it's great. I really do. And it's insane how she's putting out this level of content. I hate referring to songs as that. This level of song at fucking 10 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what the fuck I was doing at 10. I don't even know.
Making those baking videos on YouTube?
Oh my god, I was! I was fucking cooking it up in the kitchen, man.
Did you take those videos down?
I took some of them down because people bullied me. And I was like, fuck you! And then I took them down. Boston Manor dropped a new single, Container.
New Boston Manor, bro. Let's fucking go.
Did they just drop?
No, a couple of years. It's like a couple of years ago at this point. Hopefully we
dude, get... that was oh my god, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, hopefully we get to Torah part two finally.
Holy shit. That felt like it was we spoke to him last year, right?
No, 2 years ago when the Torah came out. And
that felt like it was like months ago. That does not feel like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. It was it was
Are you serious?
Year probably a year and a half ago at this point.
Oh my god. Dude.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like I've got a fucking time slip. That's not right. Austin Manor, October 19th,
2022. Yeah. A year and a half ago.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, New Boston Manor, stoked. Song's great as always. I'm more of like when I listen to Boston Manor, I enjoy it more in, I think they're an album band. I enjoy their songs in an album form. Like, The Taurus singles, I was just like, they're fine as singles. And then I heard that project in full and it damn near blew my mind. So I liked the song, this new single, but I am not like, and I'm not saying I didn't like it. I liked it. Just want to preface with that, but I am saving any sort of negative comments for the record. Like if any negative comments come out of this album cycle, I am saving them for the record because I'm just going to look, probably going to look like a fool. Like I did with the last album when I was like, this song's fine. It's whatever. And then the record damn near blew me away and almost made my album of the year list. It even might've, I honestly don't remember. So yeah, I'm just stoked for New Boston Manor.
Absolutely. I really liked this song a lot. I thought it was crazy. I thought it flowed really well. Again, guitar-wise, there were a lot of good riffs on this playlist, but this one specifically was, I love when riffs just repeat and repeat and repeat throughout the first couple verses, and that's like, oh, damn, you froze for a second. I know it's bad on my end. but it goes, it's like a progressing riff where it goes, da-na-na-na. I just, it's so simple, but it's exactly what it needed. And I really want to hear this song live now because I know that da-na-na-na is going to be so fucking cool live.
Yeah.
I love this band. I'm excited to see what they throw out there. Incredible band. Awesome, awesome band.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Loveless dropped new single, Addicted. Going out on tour with Water Parks. Gloria and I will be seeing them in March. I noticed... this is now the fourth single out with no album announcement, so I'm gonna need that album announcement like yesterday. Patiently waiting for that, but with all that to say, I this band don't fucking miss. Song's awesome. No notes, as you would say. And just overall a banger.
Hell yeah. This song reminded me of One Direction. Good thing. They had I can't place what song it is. If you asked me like 4 years ago, I would have been able to fucking give you one to one.
Doing the all nighters been... for them.
Okay, we're not talking about that right now. I can't fucking tell you. It's in the first verse where he goes da 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 da. There's a One Direction song out there, and I could fucking hear Harry. I'm pretty sure it's Harry that does that, and I think it's great. Because obviously it's just that one part and then the rest is, you know, loveless. Great song. Happy, excited to hear it live. If it's on the set list, I hope it is. Whatever. Dude, when I hear worst case scenario,
I'm fucking telling you.
The fucking earth is going to crack open. It's going to fucking split beneath me because I'm going to be the loudest person in the room. I'm telling you right now. And it's going to be so, so embarrassing. I'm so excited. Because I know a lot of their songs, more than I thought I did, because all of them are fucking earworms. So I'm very excited to see them live. Well, I don't know if you can tell.
After we interviewed Julian, you and I both had the EP album, collection of songs, whatever it may be, on fucking repeat.
It was bad. That was like the only thing we were listening to.
We were like, oh fuck, this band. Like, we should have been listening to this band a long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was TikTok who brought him on your page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My for you page is just like, I can't even tell you. I don't even know what
cooking
it is.
Videos.
I don't. I haven't been on TikTok in fucking ages. But yeah, that's it. LS Dunes put out a new single. How dare you?
How dare they?
That's how I read it. How dare they? This song was okay. I'm back on my Anthony Green vocals. I don't know if I like them. I can't fucking tell, man. It's like one day I like his vocals, and then the next day I'm like, dude, what is going on? This today, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think I liked. Sorry. I don't think I was the biggest fan.
Fair enough. I like the song. I'm just stoked for new LS Dunes because, you know, if they were going to go on tour again and I had to hear them play that record front to back one more time, I wouldn't be upset, but I'd be like, honestly, guys, where's the new music?
Yeah.
You know, so just stoked for new LS Dunes. Hope that this means a record, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Paris dropped a new single, Burn the Witch. Did not expect a new Paris song 6 months after the last record. Did not expect it to come along with the news that this was going to be the beginning of an all new project in the Paris universe 6 months after the last record came out. There was just a lot of like, holy hell.
A lot of news
I didn't expect 6 months after the last record came out. I was just like, bonus track off of the record that came out 6 months ago. But no. This is also the first song that she's fully produced for the project, which is wild considering she's been known, like, you know, she's produced her fair share of shit for a long time now. Like, this is like her producing isn't a new thing. Lynn. So when I found that out in the mirage of news that came out alongside this song, I was like, that's about as crazy as you telling me this is a part of a new project and not a bonus track off of the record that came out 6 months ago.
It's a big day for you, huh?
It's a big fucking day for me.
Big fucking day, yeah.
The song's great. Stoked for whatever is going to be coming next. Just didn't expect New Paris 6 months after. I'm sorry, I'm really hung up on less than
so
a year.
Soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so stoked for that. Song's great.
Absolutely. I fucking loved it. It gave me Sophie Power vibes, which is great because I do like Sophie Powers a lot. It's just kind of like that fun techno alternative, like dark alt. I would not label it as pop anymore. Huh. I don't fucking know.
It's all over
it's
the
amazing.
Place. Yeah.
Literally fucking everything. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Fourth studio LP Evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Congrats.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Six months ago.
Excited to hear. Excited to hear. Fuck. Okay. Cool. Excited to see whatever the fuck. Well, I don't even fucking know. Fever 333 dropped a new single, Ready Rock. Fucking killer. I saw someone get fucking canceled for not liking this song, and I listened to it because I was like, okay, maybe it's like not good. It was great. And I'm like, okay, what's the problem? What's going on here? Am I missing something? I thought it was fucking crazy. I like this song a lot.
Yeah, this song was solid. It's, you know, what I expect from Fever 333. When I put them on, I expect Jason going batshit. What did I get? Jason going batshit. Crazy riffs, crazy drums, the whole kit and caboodle. That's what you expect. Or at least what I expect when I turn this band on. And
yeah,
it's what you got. So I liked it.
Absolutely. You know, bro, talk about a song that you want to hear live. I need to get into Fever 333 because this is like fucking good energy, and it makes me, as I said, want to see them live, and I want to be able to know the lyrics when I see them live. So Fever 333, you're welcome to come to Virginia, specifically Norfolk. Please
Dude,
come to Norfolk.
when I saw them open for Slipknot a couple of years ago, but I mean, it's got to be 2.5 years ago at this point. He was like, he was rolling around on stage. He was jumping off shit. They set the drum kit off to the one side. The guitarist is on the far other side, and he has the entire stage to do whatever the hell he wants,
They
whatever
give
he's
him a
feeling in that
playground.
moment. And he's just, from the second he goes on stage until the second he gets off, he does not stop moving.
How does he even have like the breath for that?
I don't know, but he's jumping, he's doing all sorts of crazy shit. It's
Badass.
a show. It's a
Yeah.
performance.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That makes me want to see them like really badly now.
Yeah, they're putting on a
All
pretty good
right.
show.
All right, Fever 333, you're on my list. You're on my list now.
While She Sleeps put out a new single, To the Flowers. You hear this song, you say, this is probably the closing track on the record, right? You would say that, right? What if I told you it's like in the middle of the record and it's not the last song on the record, and there's like 4 or 5 songs after this one? Would that blow your mind a little bit?
So, like a lot, yeah, like a little lot, yeah.
Yeah, it blew my mind when I found that out. So I was like, I was coming into this, I was gonna be like, I don't like when bands put out the closer to the record. I just don't like that shit. But like, this is probably gonna, it's there's 3 songs left after this one. This is track 9. There's 12 songs on the record. I don't like when bands do that, but this is a pretty sick closer, so I'm sure this record is gonna tie up nicely. The last song, yeah, big. Now I can't say that because I'll just look
No.
like an idiot.
So your entire like spiel argument
My
is
entire
just
spiel was blown out the window when I decided to look up the track list for the record. His record's announced, it comes out at the end of next month. Yeah, I don't know anymore.
There it
So I
goes.
mean, like, the song was great. The song was great, don't get me wrong. But now I'm confused because the song was even long enough to like be it, like, it clocks in at 5 minutes. I was like, ah, this, I can see this from a mile away. This is the closer. And like, I've just been blindsided now.
Yeah, now you're
I don't
like,
know
okay,
what's
so what the
real.
fuck's happening?
I don't know what's real anymore. So yeah, but I like the song. And now I'm excited to hear the actual closer on the record, which is 3 songs after what I thought should be the closer. There's a lot to unpack with that. So yeah, I guess all that to say, I'm excited for the record. I thought I had it predicted and I don't now. So
No. Everything was just tossed out the window. Now you're right. You don't even know what to fucking
yeah,
expect.
I don't know what's real and what's fake anymore.
They did their job.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Yeah,
Hell
real
yeah. No,
curveball.
fucking song's great. The song's great. I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, this is very big, very, and that's it, scene. And then you just told me that, and now I'm like, oh, okay. I don't fucking know why you would put this, like, not even. At least it's near the end, you know? It's not like this is the fucking second song on the record. I'd be so pissed if it was. I'd be pissed. But yeah, I think it's a great song. Strange, but great.
Yeah,
Great.
it's gonna be interesting in the
Stand
context of the
Atlantic.
record.
Okay. Stand Atlantic put out a new single, War Zone. The O in zone is a zero because it's a little silly, a little quirky.
Yeah, this song took a lot of listens for me to like. It's not my favorite. It's just fine. It's just okay. I'm coming around to the song, but when you compare this to the song that's on the B side, Sex on the Beach, I'm just like, it don't even stack up. So I'm excited to see what comes next, but this is not my favorite, which is hard for me to say because I've liked basically everything Stan Atlantic has put out since Pink Elephant. So it's been a long streak, so it was bound to break at some point. But stoked to see what comes next, and hopefully, in the context of whatever it may be, I like this song.
I really liked this song a lot. It reminded me a lot of Hot Milk, with just kind of the techno influence, kind of just the extremely high energy, the kind of screaming, not like metal screaming, but just like raising your voice screaming. A lot of, they shared a lot of techniques, I guess. And I fucking love Hot Milk. Or not Hot Milk. Who am I thinking of? It's not Hot Milk. It's
Wargasm?
Wargasm. That's what I'm thinking of. I fucking love Wargasm. I love Hot Milk as well, but that's not who I was talking about. Wargasm. They share a lot of similarities. I can you hear it?
Like, kind of, a little bit now that you say it.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, ooh, I like this, because it sounds like new Wargasm. Even the vocalists sound nothing alike. Mm-hmm. Just kind of same energy, same kind of techno, kind of hyper-pop influence a little bit in there. The raising voice screaming instead of metal screaming. I fucking loved it, like, a lot. I hope you do eventually feel the same event, like, in the future, in the context of the record. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I liked it.
Hell yeah. Well, that's all the topics we have today. So you can follow us on Twitter. It's good_noise_cast. Instagram's Good Noise Podcast. Facebook is Good Noise Pod. YouTube is Good Noise Podcast. Every audio streaming service ever, Good Noise Podcast. Bandcamp, goodnoiserecords.bandcamp.com. Mm-hmm. Patreon is patreon.com/goodnoisepodcast. Glory's got your Patreon supporters, Twitch subs, your merch plug, and your important plugs. And then we're going to sign off.
If my fucking computer doesn't kill me by then. Thank you to our Patreon supporters, David Arrington, Matt from Pulses, Brady Zari, Pop Punk Apologist, and Eric. And thank you to our Twitch subs, Coaster Lover, and Matt again from Pulses. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
Check out our merch. It is Good Noise Podcast. It never embeds properly. This pisses me off. I need to fix it. It is goodnoisepodcast.creator-spring.com. We still have our little Peanuts merch up. It is so fucking cute. Please get it so we can make more merch, because I have a really good idea and we need to sell a couple more before I can do that. So please do that. Thank you. Important plugs, Black Lives Matter, Stop Asian Hate, Please Be a Decent Person, Free Palestine. Don't stop talking about that, please. Even if it's just fucking retweeting shit, because it's genuine. It's fucking genocide, point blank. Support your local artists, because they are important to keep music alive. Because if we don't have the baby bands now, who's going to be the big band in the next 10 years? If they all fucking run out of money now, you know, like, what the fuck's going to happen then? AI? We don't want that shit. They already sound bad. That's all I have to say.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, that is all we have today. I have been Shane.
I've been Gloria.
And we have been the Good Noise Podcast. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.